Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The phrase, preaching to the choir, it refers to the pointlessness of a preacher attempting to convert those who, by their presence in the church, have already demonstrated their faith. Do you ever feel like the choir? You ever feel like church attendance is pointless because you're going to hear the same message perpetuated again and again? Do you think regular church attendance is unnecessary because you've already heard about Jesus' life, death, and resurrection? Well, the truth is that for people who were born between 1984 and 2004, that is 7 out of 10 of those people in that age range. Well, if that's you, our gospel text from John 11 is for you. Or maybe you think something different. Maybe you're thinking to yourself, "No, Pastor, I come to church to express my faith and my need to be right where the Holy Spirit has called me. In fact, it's my faith that beckons me to come to church. I'm living the faith I've been given. I'm taking my Sabbath rest in Jesus Christ." That is the importance of being in God's house, faithfully week after week, is to receive from Jesus. And if that's you, then our gospel text from John 11 is for you also. You see, today we've come to a narrative about Martha and Mary and Lazarus and Jesus and what happens at the very beginning. But the sisters, they send word to Jesus that their brother Lazarus is ill. Now, we've heard of other texts where somebody sends for Jesus and Jesus will just immediately hit the road, go out to the sick person, place his hands on them, and they're healed. Life continues. But not so in John 11. We actually get some very strange words. We hear all about how Jesus loved Lazarus, and so he decides to wait for 2 days. Like if you love somebody and you know that they have a need, wouldn't you go out immediately? But that's not what Jesus does. It almost seems as if he's sort of dawdling around. He purposely waits for Lazarus to die. And by the time he actually travels and makes it to the town of Bethany, Lazarus has been dead and in the tomb for 4 whole days. And it's at this point that Jesus and Martha meet on Jesus' way into town. The truth is that you and I are not unlike Martha. You believe that Jesus has lived and died and lived again for you. You believe that your sins are forgiven. You believe that his body has been given, that his blood has been shed on your behalf, especially to eat and drink in the sacrament. You believe in the resurrection of the dead. You believe you will be in heaven with Jesus someday. You confess the creed, which we will do immediately after our sermon. And you know what? You believe it all. Everything that's in that creed, you believe it. Thanks be to God. That's great. And Martha believes it too. In fact, she has one of those profound sort of confessions of who Jesus is that is right up there with Peter's confession about who Jesus is. She says, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." But even in her belief, even after making a confession like that, she still doubts. "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Doubt. Doubting that Jesus is constantly working for her good. Even somebody who is such a strong Christian as Martha doubts God's love. And again, after Jesus gives her the promise of the resurrection, you know, "Your brother will rise again," she shows that again she believes, but she's also living in unbelief at the same time. "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Lord, of course I know that he's going to come back to life. I've heard that from you already once before." Right? You can almost hear it in her voice, as if she has to remind Jesus that she's already heard the story. But we know from John 11 that this story that Jesus is telling about the resurrection, it's not about the last day. It's about what he's about to come and do. In fact, even when they sent word to Jesus that Lazarus was sick, Jesus told them, "This sickness does not lead to death." You see, Jesus comes to Martha, a woman of great faith, a woman who has heard it all, and he has to preach to the choir. Jesus has to, because even as much as she believes, there is still unbelief. Even as much as she believes, there is still doubt. Even for as much as Martha believes, there is still sin in her that makes her want God to be the God she wants, to make God do whatever she asks. And she never actually imagined that God might raise him from death to life immediately. And so in some way, she denied the divinity of her Savior. In some way, she denied God's power. Her faith, while strong and true, wanted a miracle before Lazarus died, not after. She thinks that God is confined to work in the ways that she chooses, not the way God chooses. Even when they make it to the tomb, after this conversation, and Jesus sort of tries to set the record straight, "Oh, Jesus, don't open the tomb. Death stinks. He's been in there 4 days. He's been rotting. He's going to be gross smelling." She again tries to confine Jesus to her own understanding. "It's too late for Lazarus now, Jesus. You should have come a week ago." And so if you are the one who sees no need for regular attendance in church, if you are that means that you are telling God how to do his job. You are telling him that you only need him on your terms, not on his terms. That he should only show up where and when it is convenient for you. If you think church is about preaching to the choir, that you believe already and that's enough, Jesus' question in our text is a question for you. "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" Believe that you are a sinner in need of forgiveness. And repent. Repent of your unbelief. Repent of treating God as an object for your convenience. And believe that he is working for your good to further strengthen your faith week in and week out through the proclamation of his word, through the remembrance of your baptism, through the reception of the Lord's Supper. And you know what will happen? Is you'll begin to see God's glory in every day of your life. In every moment. Whether it's in the church, whether it's in the world, whether it's in anything that happens to you, but especially when God has promised to be with you through the preaching of his word and the distribution of his crucified and resurrected body. For you. That is where God manifests his glory. And on the other hand, if you're those who show up Sunday after Sunday, recognizing that, like Martha, Jesus is trying to expose your unfaithfulness. If you can show up to church time and time again, and yet we still don't believe. We do believe. But on the same time, we don't believe or we don't understand. You can trust in God, but then still despair of his presence and protection when things in life start to take a turn for the worse. The truth is, it happens all the time. Even those who are devout in their faith from time to time will doubt God's word. They'll doubt his presence. They'll doubt his providence. It's easy to lose faith. It really is. More than you or I would like to recognize, it is easy to lose faith. When things that happen that are beyond your understanding, it's easy to lose faith. And so Jesus' question in our text is a question for you. "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" Believe that you are a sinner in need of God's forgiveness. The truth is that even if you are the strongest believer in this church right now, you still need to hear about Jesus who is crucified and risen for you. Because the truth is that in good, bad, or indifferent times, when God is working in ways that we cannot even fathom, in ways that we don't expect, and particularly in ways that we don't understand, when that doubt creeps in, we need to repent and simply look to Jesus Christ to be the God he has promised to be, the God who is always working for your good, even when you don't see it. Even when you might be having the worst day of your life, Jesus is still there with you to give you his promise of forgiveness, life, and salvation. How can we be so sure? Because Jesus had the worst day of his life, and he wrote it all down for us. Jesus hangs on a cross. And he experiences the physical pain of the crucifixion, but that's nothing in comparison to the emotional and the spiritual pain of desertion. Even as God himself forsook Jesus to die on his own, God pouring out the cup of his wrath against your Savior. It was the worst day of Jesus' life, and he endured it for you. And it wasn't only God who abandoned Jesus on the cross, but his disciples are nowhere to be found. And yet because God abandoned Jesus to death and punishment on the cross, it means he will never abandon you. That he will never leave you on your own. That even in the worst day of your life, God is with you to strengthen your faith in his word, to remind you of his promises. And so just as Mary and Martha needed to receive the hope that is in Jesus Christ, so do you. Do you see the glory of God in the message of the gospel? Do you see the glory of God as you are forgiven? Do you see the glory of God as he constantly promises you every good thing? Because the truth is, the Lord isn't going to wait around for a few days. He's not going to dawdle. But he's here for you now. He's coming to you today and every day of your life. And so know that this day, the Lord has sent me to preach to sinners, even to myself, and to all who are so desperately in need of Jesus for their benefit. And he sent me with very specific words. Your sins are forgiven. For Jesus Christ has been crucified and risen for you. And that proclamation, it's far more than simply preaching to the choir. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.